Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 6 through 13. And you're going to see something that ought to further establish your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for one thing, but explain something to you about human nature, and more particularly about the time that the Jews were in here when they demanded a king. We're going to study this topic today. It is the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 6. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen, and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. And when he starts this passage of Scripture, he says in verse 6, It is the Lord that did all these things for you, and now you want a man instead of the Lord, is the way he's leading in this sermon that he's preaching to Israel. You see, because by the time he gets to verse 12, and he says, When you saw Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, come against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Essentially, Israel rejected the Lord when they demanded a king, and by doing so, missed the fact that all the time since they had been a nation, it is the Lord that had been taking care of them instead of the men that he had used. And that's very important to you, for you to remember. That's very important for me to remember, you see. And there's some points about that in this particular passage of Scripture that we want to definitely examine, so that we don't come to the conclusion that what Israel did here was a good thing. You see, it is the Lord, first of all, that gave them the men. You see, when he says here in verse 6, it is the Lord, he goes on to say, that advanced Moses, you see, and Aaron. And verse 11, it is the Lord that sent Jerubbaal, and it is the Lord that sent Bedan, and it is the Lord that sent Jephthah, and it is the Lord that sent Samuel. You see that? And now it is the Lord that set a king over you. But the circumstances of setting the king over them are not the same as the circumstances of setting these other men over them, because God chose those other men at a precise time when Israel needed help. And in the choosing of Saul, Israel had demanded the king, and the Lord basically gave in. There's a big difference. You see, in each of these cases that Samuel mentions here, God used these men to deliver Israel, but in each case, it was the Lord that had to give them supernatural assistance because they were not capable of doing the miraculous things that they did as mere men. Moses foretold the plagues, but he didn't bring them. Moses, each time he got ready to bring one of those plagues, went in and told Pharaoh, okay, this is what's going to happen to you next. And then the flies came. This is what's going to happen to you next. Then the frogs came, or vice versa. This is what's going to happen to you next. And the locusts came. This is what's going to happen to you next. And the murrain comes. Here's what's coming next. The blains come. Here's what's coming next. The hail comes. Just like that, see? I didn't necessarily name those in orders, but you understand. Every single time it was Moses, the man, that foretold the plagues, but in every case, it was the Lord doing the miraculous things. Moses parted the Red Sea. That wasn't Moses. Moses held up the rod. The Lord's the one that had to tell him to do that. And then the Lord brought this big east wind in there and blew that sea until that ground got dry. Moses went up and received the commandments from the Lord, but he didn't write them. He didn't come up with them. They're not his creation. They're not his, his penmanship or whatever, in hewing out the stones and taking them up to the Lord for the second time for the Lord to write those commands down for Israel. But let me tell you something. He didn't come up with that stuff. That's God. Moses spoke of the manna and told Israel, you're going to wake up in the morning and there's going to be a hoarfrost on the ground and you're going to gather your manna of that. Well, he didn't give them the manna. That's something that God did. They needed water. One time it was bitter. Moses sweetened the water, but it wasn't Moses that did that. It was the Lord working through him. Another time they needed water, and Moses struck a rock, and water came forth. Another time he was supposed to speak to the rock, he struck it. Water still came forth, even though that disobedience cost him his entrance into the promised land. You see, listen. God gave them the men, and God gave the men the supernatural power to do the things that they did. In this passage of Scripture, he speaks of Jerubbaal. That's Gideon. All right? If you go back and look at the book of Judges, that's what they called him after he destroyed his father's altar and after he burned that second bullock and offered as a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. Gideon. Gideon defeated 135,000 soldiers with 300 men. That's not something that a man can do, and the Lord made sure to trim his army down to that size so that nobody would ever even think that it was Gideon that did it. And they would know that it was the Lord that defeated those Midianites. It's the Lord that did that. Jephthah was given the victory by the Lord whenever he defeated the enemy. But look, go back in Judges chapter 11. Look at this thing here. You have to understand, when the Ammonites came and said, you're going to give us our land back, which Israel didn't take from them in the first place, and thank God Jephthah knew his history. Jephthah said, no, we're not going to do that. And then there was a fight. All right? In verse 32, Judges chapter 11, Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. Watch it. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. Do you understand? That victory was not Jephthah's victory. That was the Lord's victory, and Jephthah knew it. Samuel mentions himself in this passage of Scripture. He would be the first one to admit that the Lord was the one working through him. So the obvious comment then that Samuel's trying to make here when he, goes through this little speech here before Israel is simply this. If Saul is the Lord's choice, then the only way that he is going to succeed is for the Lord to work through him. He as a king, is just a man, and he is no different than all the kings of all the nations that have already been destroyed by Israel by this time. Men cannot deliver their nations when they are in a fight with God. And if God is on your side and you are fighting with the Lord or for the Lord, you're going to do well. And if you're fighting against the Lord, you're not going to do well. Doesn't make a difference what kind of man you are. Not make one bit of difference. And so that's what Samuel is contesting with Israel about here. He says, guys, I know that all these men that you really hold in high regard are men that were successful. But hey, it was and is the Lord that did these things, not the men. So you sit here and you think, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to get us a king. Well, be careful. Be careful. Because you get that king, and if he doesn't have the Lord, doesn't make any difference what kind of man he is. He ain't going to make it. And listen, if it is the Lord, don't worry about it. He'll always give you the man that you need in order to take care of the problem. He always has and he always will. Second thing that we can glean from this passage. Not only is it the Lord that gave the men, but listen, these men all died. Every one of them that he mentions here did or is going to die. He mentions himself, so he hadn't died yet. But listen, these men all die. Yet it is the Lord that is still there for Israel. Okay? And that's very important to remember. If the Lord is the one that's still there for Israel, then what they need is they need the Lord, because the man's going to die. You're only going to get so much blessing and so much benefit out of the man that you choose. And then after that, he goes the way of all men, and the Lord's got to still be there for you. Or, too bad, baby. Seriously. That's the thing to keep in mind here. Listen. If Israel had just put its confidence in a man, then as soon as the man died, Israel would be out of help. But the Lord kept helping them even after each of these men died. So they were, you know what? If that's the case, if the Lord had to be there after each man died in order to continue the operation, then Israel, was still going to need the Lord's help even after Saul dies. So their confidence still should have remained in the Lord and not in the king. You know, you want a king, okay. God knew they were going to get kings. As a matter of fact, King Jesus, King David, those were all things God wanted. But he wanted a man after his own heart who would always recognize ultimately that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is the Lord God, and we just serve here under his authority, period. And it doesn't make a difference if you're a man of high degree or low degree or what you are degree. It doesn't make any difference as long as it is the Lord. It's the Lord that gave them the men. These men all died, yet it is the Lord that is still there for Israel. That's not all. These men only gave temporary peace. It's the Lord who gives lasting peace. You see, Israel, in hoping to have a king like all the other nations, I suppose, among other things, wanted two results. One, they wanted a king to go out in the battles for them, some man that they could follow in whom they could place great confidence and win the wars. And the second thing I'm sure they wanted, because, you know, they had the ark that came in the last time, now they want a king to go in. The second thing is that they would have a king in there who was so strong and powerful, men wouldn't want to contend with him, and that might bring some peace. But let me tell you something. These men only gave temporary peace. Lasting peace only comes from the Lord. You look at the Jews in the wilderness. They were pretty much at peace for 38 years. I mean, when they refused to go into the promised land, a few of them went on in there after God said, you're not going in. And they had to contend with a battle there. And Amalek attacked them out there in the wilderness. They had to contend with a battle there. But pretty much for the most part, 38 years under Moses of a pretty lasting peace. And then as soon as they got to the land of Canaan, 5 straight years of war when they got to the promised land. They had a lot of fighting there. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, the king of Jericho, the king of Ai, king of Bethel, and all those wars that they had to fight in order to conquer that land. And then you read along, you know, when they have a period of rest, and when Gideon comes, who's mentioned here as Jerubbaal, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 11, when he comes along, after he succeeds in destroying the Midianites, they have 40 years of rest. 40 years of rest. That's it. One generation. 40 years of rest. And it's over. Under Jephthah, who's also mentioned in this passage, they basically, if it looks right, based on what you read in the Bible, 6 years of rest. In other words, he judged Israel 6 years. So presumably after he defeated the Ammonites, they were at rest for 6 more years. That's all they got. All they got. And you can go in there, judge after judge after judge. We studied that book not too long ago. There's a period of rest, sometimes 80, sometimes 40, sometimes 20, sometimes 10. You know, or any numbers in there. There are various amounts of rest under these other judges, but it's always temporary peace. It's always temporary rest, basically up until the time the man dies. Under the Lord, since the Lord never dies, they're going to have a permanent rest. When Jesus Christ comes to this earth, He is the Prince of Peace. And during His millennial reign, Israel is going to be at peace. Let me tell you something. You read in the book of Isaiah, they are going to take those pruning spears, and they're going to take those swords, and they are going to turn them into farming implements. Okay? Plows, and this is going to be a whole different deal under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the animals are going to get along with each other. So the question is then, why would Israel expect Saul to do any better than all of the men that had gone before them? Ultimately, they had to recognize one thing. If they were ever going to have lasting peace, that lasting peace was going to have to come from the Lord. It is the Lord, Samuel said. It is the Lord. And truly it is. It is the Lord that gave them in. It is the Lord that still has to be there for Israel after the men die. It is the Lord who gives them lasting peace. You see that? It's always that way. And let me tell you something else. It is the Lord who will have their full support one day. The men always lost the support of this fickle nation. That's right. The Lord eventually is going to have lasting, full support from Israel. And these men, like Saul, that they wanted to be their king, they always lose their support. Because these men are fickle followers. Listen, when you go back there and you look at the life of Moses and Aaron, and he mentions them here in Samuel. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 12 there, he says, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron. Hey, they didn't always get along with Moses and Aaron. Against Aaron, they raised up Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Moses, they raised up an evil report. They even had a golden calf to follow whenever Moses was gone longer than they wanted him to be gone. They turned their back on him. They turned on Gideon. Gideon was very famous in the war, and then, you know, time for his children to come up, and all of a sudden, man, it's like Gideon was an enemy. And he lost their support. They turned on Jephthah. They turned on Jesus Christ. Listen, man, they men are fickle. Somebody says, I want so-and-so to be the new president. Hey, men are fickle. They say, what about the polls? Well, at some point somebody may have 60% support in the polls. You can be sure that support is going to go down to 30% at some point in time in the future. It always does. And it did for Israel. Listen, they turned on the man Jesus Christ. They were sure to turn on their kings. The only one who will ever get their faithful support is the Lord, and he won't get that support until his second coming. So, should they expect Saul is going to continue to have their support the entire time that he is king over Israel? Not even for a few days. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, when Saul messes up and offers that sacrifice, and Samuel pins him about it and gets on him about it, in verse 11, 1 Samuel chapter 13, Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, watch it, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines have come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. He did something he wasn't supposed to do. Why? Because he saw that the people were scattered from him. He feared the people. They'd already by this time, had lost confidence in their king, whom they said, we want this man. We're going to let him go out in those battles, and we're going to follow him. All right, here come the Philistines, and they're like running for the cover. And Saul's out there, and they're saying, man, we don't like this guy. We're scattered from him because we don't want him to lead us into this battle. We don't want the fight. You see, it's always that way with Israel. So when Samuel brings this charge to Israel here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 6 through 13, he says, guys, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron. Verse 7, now therefore stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you. Verse 8, when Jacob was coming to Egypt and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron. Verse 9, and when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera. Verse 10, and they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord. Verse 11, and the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Bedan, Jephthah, Samuel. Now therefore, verse 13, behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. So it's always God. It's always the Lord ultimately doing things for them. So a man as king was not going to have any more success than any of these other men. And that brings us to this. They're going to still desire a king to be over them, and eventually they are going to get the Antichrist. That's what's going to happen. Eventually, with this kind of mentality, you get the Antichrist. You want a God. You can see the Antichrist will come. He will profess himself to be God. He'll sit in the temple. He'll rule. It's going to be vicious, like we showed you yesterday about Samuel. He wasn't a covetous man. He didn't defraud anybody. He didn't oppress anybody. He didn't take any bribes. That's going to be very, very different when the Antichrist sits in that throne. He's going to be the exact opposite. He will have none of these guiding principles of Samuel to guide him. And that should have been a warning to Israel that that's the kind of man they're going to get. But people look the other way. They don't. Oh, we don't need to concern ourselves with a man's integrity. We don't need to concern ourselves with his morality? Oh, of course not. We don't need to worry about those kinds of things. We understand that it takes money to buy votes. We understand that men can't always say and won't always say what they really believe when they speak, but as long as they speak well, we like it. We understand that they got to make rules here in the government that are sometimes oppressive so that we can be able to function here orderly. We understand all that, they say. Let me tell you something. That is just the ripe, fertile breeding ground for a country prepared for the Antichrist to rule. And that's what Israel eventually gets. They had a type of that in Absalom. They had a type of that in Ahab. They had a type of that in Manasseh. And they're going to get the full-blown ugliness of the Antichrist in all of his royal beauty because they didn't want the Lord. And Samuel said, fellas, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. In other words, getting a man solves nothing for Israel. They need the Lord because only the Lord can do what they ultimately need. They need lasting peace. Only Jesus Christ can give that. They need salvation. Only Jesus Christ can bring that. They need provision. Only Jesus Christ can make that provision. They need protection. Only Jesus Christ can afford that protection. You read through there in the Bible and you check the references on that thing. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ comes and he is the Son that comes, that peace that he brings goes on forever. Do you understand? And no man can do that. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Watch it. The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. They need the Lord to get lasting peace. They need the Lord to get salvation. They're not going to get that any other way. Listen. You know what your problem has been? Your problem has been that you have wanted what Israel was looking for in a man. And you have been disappointed because you have not gotten that yet. May I tell you something? You don't need the man. You need the Lord. The solution to the problems that we face are not in a man. If God were to raise up a man for us that he could lead and guide like he led these others, like Moses and Aaron and Gideon and Jephthah and Samuel, those, then you could find some solution to the problems that we have in this country. Otherwise, if the man steps into the office to do what he wants to do, this country is fickle. They will turn their back on him. The man can only provide a temporary peace if he provides any at all. He's going to die and you're going to still need somebody else to replace him. And if the Lord doesn't give you the man, then you end up with the Antichrist. Don't ever forget what Israel forgot. It is the Lord that provides lasting peace, salvation, provision, protection, and every other wonderful thing that only he can give. Do you understand that? I love this passage of Scripture because of what Samuel said. It reminds me, take your eyes off of men and put your eyes on the Lord your God. He is to be the King of your life.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.